Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Brenna Thomas Milton, and I am, today I'm inviting you to our eighth episode here on Blog Talk Radio, the Metroplex Buzz. This is our podcast, and this evening we're coming in on a stormy evening with some special guests from Kaufman County. And Dallas County, we have a special guest, the DA, Early Wally, with her husband, Mr. Attorney Aaron Wally, along with Dr. David Willis, CEO of Cedar Crest Development, LLC. Good evening, everyone. Are you all here? I think we are. Okay. Okay, we're coming, and we're going live with both. And I think we have Mr. B.A. Early. She's on the phone.
Yes, ma'am. This is Early White. Yes, ma'am. Early White. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and thank you for being our special guest this evening. This is my first time really coming in because of the weather. I wanted to make sure that I didn't lose anyone. This is my first time coming in on this type of audio. So I'm not on my in my studio this time over the internet. So I wanted to make sure that we don't get cut off. I hope everything is still fine. Over here, it's pretty clear. The weather has ceased, and I'm thankful for that. And Dr. Willis, are you on the line also?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good, very good. I'm happy to have both of you. And I know I wanted to start first this evening, Dr. Willis, with the lady, which is our DA, Sister Early Wally. And I wanted her to talk first about Kaufman County and her concerns for what's happening there, the crime rate there. And to talk about the many cities that she, Kaufman, covers. I know they have a growing Forney, Texas, Turtle, Texas, Camp, and Crandall is really growing. So I want you to talk a little bit, DA Wally, about what's going on in Kaufman. And then we're going to come back to Dr. Willis.
Okay. Well, and it's great to be sharing a podcast with my husband, Aaron, and with Dr. Willis. I've had the good fortune to have met Dr. Willis, who has been in our county and is doing some tremendous work in our county. And so I'm so pleased, and Aaron and I have both met him, and so we're so pleased to be able to all share and talk about the county that I grew up in and that my husband and I live in, and that Dr. Willis is helping us with the growth. But from the DA's perspective, Ms. Melton, you bring a real interesting point. Kaufman is growing, and with growth comes crime. But I will say the good news in Kaufman, and you listed the cities. I mean, you mentioned Terrell, Crandall, Kemp, Maybank, Forney, just some of the larger ones. Scurry. Those are just a few of the large ones, but there's others. Part of Mesquite is now in Kaufman County. And we have had our crime rate has stayed pretty steady. And in fact, overall, it's dipped. Where we've seen our largest problem and our biggest concern is actually in violent crime. And I think a lot of that is the growth that we're seeing there on the northern end of our county in Forney and Crandall, with some of the younger offenders that are juvenile and our youth offenders, and some of the violent crime, some gang activity. And we are redirecting that energy because we want Coffman to be a place where people come, develop, and live. And so we are seeing that. We are responding to that. We are going to create a unit to respond to that. And we've already moved resources and have the support of a lot of good people to help us in that area. We had the response of increasing in staffing to meet those needs because of the growth. But I think it's a great point to also, as a criminal district attorney in Texas, to pivot a little bit to talk about the other side, which is not just the crime, which is there, we're responding, but as a criminal district attorney, you're responsible for county and the civil part of the county, which is where that growth comes in with us giving legal advice to the commissioner's court and a lot of their projects. And so I wear two hats as the lead prosecutor and law enforcement officer in the county. We do prosecute cases, but we also advise the commissioner's court with the growth and give them legal advice and counsel. And to that end, we were in a meeting just this week, for example, with a leadership group. And right now, Coffman, our population was in 2020, 140,000. So we're looking at right now 160,000. And so in 3 years, it's already to 160, 165. And Dr. Willis and Aaron might have some more information from what the work they're doing. But we learned in our leadership that we have 35,000 conservative rooftops that's been permitted that's coming into the county in the next 36 months. And that's conservative. So with that, you're going to see, and you got people look at a number between 2.5 and 2.8 per house. You're looking at an increase conservatively of 90 to 100,000 people in the next 3 years in Coffman, which could pump our population over 250,000 long before we hit the next census. So we will continue to have to respond with people. Will come crime, and we've seen it. Uh-huh. It's not the Coffman County that I grew up in as a kid.
Well, let me ask you something. Your commissioner's court, I know you all, well, I knew you had one, but I didn't even think about that. How many sits on commissioner's court down there in Coffman County?
Four commissioners and a county judge that presides. Just like Dallas, the commissioner's court are set up the same as it is throughout the state. So just as y'all have that same in Dallas County with your four and then your county judge, we have our four and our county judge.
Okay, what is your racial makeup of your commissioner's court?
We have five white males.
Okay, so it's all Anglo white males.
It's five, yes. And I think it speaks not only to the race, which you asked, but also the sex, because women bring a diversity, too, with our insights in business. So they're very responsive to our office and seek our advice, or this court has been, when they lean into the civil department that I also head that help with some of those decisions. They are the commissioner's decisions, but we advise and counsel and provide them the law.
Okay. Who is your sheriff down there now? Who is the sheriff there?
The sheriff is Sheriff Ryan Beavers.
Beavers?
Yes, we have Sheriff Ron okay. Beavers.
Okay. That's good news.
Where are you
spotting? I beg your pardon?
Ma'am? No,
what
I was going to say, where I find diversity in Kaufman, which is unique, is not in that commissioner's court, and I agree with you. I think, and that has changed. There was when I became the judge, because I was a judge for 10 years, we had an African-American commissioner in that tarot quadrant that has now flipped, and you don't. But I find that Kaufman, even with its size, you have an African-American district attorney, female, and I am the first African-American female DA in the state of Texas, and that came from Kaufman County. You have a district judge that worked in my office that I take pride in saying I believe I helped train and helped push him to run for district judge. And then the district clerk is African-American Rhonda Hunter. Rhonda Huey. I know Rhonda Hunter too, but Rhonda Huey.
Okay. Well, this is something that I wanted to personally, I like to get involved with the diversity things. I like to see things happen. And my involvement in politics has gained me, I guess, what I've known today. But I wanted to share with the community that's listening in. Many of my listeners don't call in. They listen online. But I met you and your husband at the home of my neighbors who live around the corner from me, really, Angela and
yes,
Lieutenant Colonel West. And when I met you all, I told your husband he looked so familiar because I had seen him in the federal courts when I, and along with Mr. Lipscomb, was friends of Coggins. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, that's the young man who hired me.
Okay.
Paul Coggins hired
me. Your husband was at that time working under, prosecutor, I believe. So
that
I
is,
admired him. And I beg your pardon?
Oh, I said that's correct. I was a federal prosecutor for 18 years. I was a prosecutor overall for 24 of my 32 years as a lawyer.
Okay. Aaron, I didn't know that was you on the phone. I thought I was still talking to Early.
No.
Well, I'm talking to you now. Okay. When you heard what now?
When I heard my name,
okay.
I leaned over and pushed her out the way.
Oh, okay. Okay. You pushed her out the way. Okay. Well, good. Well, that's what it's custom because I wanted you to come on also because I know I wanted to hear from you. And because I know that you take care of a lot of things on the federal side. And I want to talk to you today about the pandemic when we was going through this COVID, how so many people received those, what you call those checks, those PPI checks or whatever?
Those PPP loans, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit? And then tell us about who you are and your practice, where you are now, and what you're doing
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. I'll start with, again, I was a prosecutor with a federal prosecutor for 18 years. And in doing that, I prosecuted a lot of fraud cases. I used to prosecute dope cases. But what you are asking me and how to incorporate that is what we went through with the pandemic as far as the government's response was a lot like what happened back in 2005 with Hurricane Katrina, meaning that you had a president, something happened, there was an outcry, and because of that outcry, President Bush, on the 5th of September 2005, he sent out money to anybody that wanted it. you had to, because of backlash, you didn't have to provide much documentation for the fact of whether or not you were living in New Orleans, and money just went out. And, of course, what happened after that was a lot of fraud. Similarly, now, going back to 2020, most of us remember in March of 2020 is when the pandemic was in full swing and everybody was told to stay home and we need to wear a mask. And then there was an outcry for President Trump. Well, what are people going to do? How are they going to meet their bills? And then he signed into law the PPP loan package, which went out beginning in April of 2020. And basically, it was very similar in the sense that you didn't have to provide much documentation. In fact, the loan application, it only asked, were you affected by COVID? Interestingly enough, there wasn't much else. And the interesting thing about that is many institutions like Harvard, the Los Angeles Lakers, that were all solvent and had plenty of money, also applied for PPP loans. Now, they were shamed into giving the money back, but they got those loans because banks and their friends in banking told them, hey, you can get this money too if you were affected. Affected may be anything. It's not a very high bar. And to be intellectually honest, banks, which is not talked about a lot, and I'll get to the fraud piece in a second, banks who weren't talked about a lot, for every loan that they processed, they got paid. Why is that important? Because if they were getting paid by volume, the more volume they created, the more money that they made. So banks were disincentivized from actually checking or confirming that the applications weren't fraudulent. So they were, in some ways, a participant, because now the government generally reacts. It takes them about a year to catch on to whatever the latest fraud is. And now that they're in full swing, i.e. the federal government, of the $800 billion that were paid out, we believe that 10% was fraud. Well, I think it's a lot higher than that, which is 10% of the $800 billion is $80 billion. So it's still a lot of money, but I believe it's greater than that. There were businesses that put down legitimate stuff, but they didn't need the money. But then there were the most egregious fraud that we saw, and you can see it in the sales of Ferraris, Maseratis, homes, Teslas, were flying out the door because people were getting the money. They were claiming they had companies that only started a month ago, and they had 15 employees, and they needed to get all this money to pay all these employees that didn't exist. That's also identity theft. And those people never got paid because they didn't exist. Those companies didn't exist. Just the people got paid. Now the government is diligently prosecuting a lot of those people, the most egregious offenders. But in places like where we are in the Northern District of Texas, for the most part, if you got less than $1 million, they're probably not looking real hard. In a place like Fayetteville, Arkansas, that number may be different. But in the Northern District of Texas, particularly the Dallas piece, they're not looking at folks that did not get tremendous amounts of money. But believe me, particularly down in the Southern District in Houston, a lot of PPP fraud. Here in the Northern District, a lot of PPP fraud. And now it's coming to fruition because, and you also asked about what I do now, after leaving the government, since my last almost 20 years was in white-collar crime, I defend people that are charged, and I only do have a federal practice. I don't do state stuff because prosecutors like my wife in the state court are just too mean for my blood.
We are mean.
I see.
And so that's what I do. I have a practice, and that's Aaron L. Wiley Law PC. And again, I only do federal cases, and are not limited to the Northern District. I have cases in around the country, places like mm-hmm. Arkansas, places like Springfield, Missouri, D.C., and in the state, down in Austin and in Houston and places like that.
I see. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm so happy that you had the time to come on our podcast tonight and tell us about yourself and about the PPP fraud that was happening. And also to talk about Kaufman County. And when I just heard D.A. Wiley talk about how Mesquite, some parts of Mesquite is part of Kaufman County now. And I know that there's a lot of industrial part over there off of Sine Road that's in Mesquite. And they're doing a lot of industrial building growth, a lot of growth. You got the big Ashley's warehouse, big FedEx warehouse over there. And so I'm trying to find out a little bit about the Mesquite. What areas of Mesquite is in Kaufman County? Can you tell me that?
Well, primarily up on 2741, up on 20, I think they're bringing in a housing addition in that area. And with that, they'll probably bring in some mixed use. It's interesting when you get off of 20, there is the city of Mesquite is there. And so it's pretty new that we've had, I guess it's not new that Mesquite's been part of it, but it's new that we're actually seeing some of the growth. We did have an issue about 4 or 5 years ago with Mesquite trying to annex in part of their ETJ, and that did not happen. But there are some other that are truly in the county, and that's another one of my law enforcement partners that I work with, that it was just a non-issue. It was just vacant land, and now they are actually doing they're building, you know, homes there in the city of Mesquite, which will be in Kaufman County. So we have patrol, and I see that over the next 4 or 5 years, you know, and Mesquite's a very professional, big agency compared to some of the agencies we have in Kaufman. We have really good law enforcement, but they are meeting this growth and having to step up. So it'll be, you know, it'll be an asset. Mesquite's very, because they're in our county, if we need things, they're a resource for us now. I mean, they always were, you know, and law enforcement people will reach out and help you, but they've been a resource for us. So, yeah. So I would say as you are coming down 20 and you're kind of going in that back door in 20, you're really not in 20, you're in the right there.
Okay, okay. We have a lot of diners that we go down on 80 to visit with, and I was just wondering. Now, you have a South Point Park. South Point Park. You do Kaufman County have a economic development down there for minority entrepreneurs?
Well, and I think it's going to be interesting to hear from Dr. Willis a little bit about that, because it'll be interesting to hear him talk about how he became aware of Kaufman County. We have the cities have economic development within the cities. Our county has a communication director that liaisons. Traditionally, counties have not been in the economic development business. But as you all know, with some of the laws, with the MUDs and the housing development, that we have had, that has pushed us into some of these developments that we've had to create more development services to comply for our neighbors. They don't get the same city services. And, you know, that's a back and forth issue, because people like being in unincorporated areas. That way they can have their chickens and their goats and don't have to have the same rules that you have in the city. But at the same time, if you move here, they want good water, clean water. They want sewage. They want to make sure their home is well built. And so even today I was on the phone me, something we wouldn't have done in years past, with a builder who wasn't able to get an answer from development services but knew that the DA's office was the attorney for them. And I directed him just like you would in a city. He had completed his project. He needed a certificate of completion or compliance like we see in neighborhoods, certificate of occupancy. And so those are things that the county didn't do 5 years ago that we do now. And but you still want to be able to have the country a feel that you are not in town, but I can tell you that that is changing. But economic development is not housing additions, and I know that much. It is bringing in businesses, and it's bringing in good businesses for jobs where you can have people that can work in the community or bring an attraction to your community. And so I said it's really kind of neat that we've got Dr. Willis who is doing that in the city of Kaufman. And so we don't have an EDC, particularly for people of color and African Americans, but I think there's a space for that, and it just hasn't developed or happened yet. Because we do have, you know, attorneys that are African American in our community, and we have other people that have lived many years in our community that are interested in business and doing things, and also with the Hispanic members of our community. There's businesses, small though they are, you know, body shops,
okay,
and clothing stores.
Well, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to talk to Dr. Willis, because one of the things I'm very interested in, because I work very diligently with this, I work with SBA and GSA. The government has a lot of set-aside monies for small businesses, and we're trying to open up, in fact, a small business development center here in the Garland area, which will be able to help other counties as well, but to teach them how to
great
do
partnership.
This. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be part of the Garland team. Pretty, you know, Garland being on the east side like that, that would be probably good if we knew about those resources. And like I said, you find, in fact, the gentleman that I was speaking about, why it's good to know people, the home builder happened to be African American, and he didn't get a good answer from the young lady in development services. But because he knew me, I was a DA, and he knows me, he was able to call me, and I could steer him in the right direction. So it is important that people that are similar can feel the comfort to be able to reach out and make a phone call.
Well, I want to bring on Dr. Willis, David Willis, and he is on the line, but I want to tell you and Dr. Willis that this our podcast is always recorded. So people can always refer back to the podcast to listen in. If they miss it tonight, they can always go back for a reference, and you can always use it as well for your advances if you want to share with somebody about what was said. So you can always come back in on our show and download one of the podcasts if you like. Now, what I want to say at this hour of the show, this part of the show, is that Dr. David Willis is a very, very, very smart young man. I met him some years ago, and he and Levi Davis two of the smartest men I know in Dallas, because of the economic development that they bring to the table whenever they talk. And so I want to bring him on now. Dr. Willis, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello. Okay,
yes,
Dr. Willis, I want to talk to you, because when I heard about your 52 acres of land with 147,000 square feet of space that you're creating a sportsplex there in Coffin County, and I just want to know, did economic development some type of way play a lead in why you went to Kaufman County with this project, or what is it that that drew you to Kaufman County?
Well, the opportunity. I mean, Kaufman County, the city of Kaufman have been great to work with.
Okay.
They had the availability of land that was owned by the city. What we did, working with economic development, we did a 380 agreement. That was a grant to purchase the land. I worked very closely with Mike Sly, who's the city manager at that time, and it's just been a wonderful experience. And after we did our marketing feasibility studies, we realized that we could turn the city of Kaufman into a destination place. So we did a 2.5 hour drive time analysis, brought in a company out of Clearwater, Florida, to do the feasibility marketing study and run the numbers. We brought in 20 different organizations, sports organizations, to say, will they come to Kaufman if we build this facility? And they all said yes. And each one of those organizations have between 300 to 500 teams within that organization. It's truly going to be a destination point.
Okay. And it's where it says also that you're going to have a hotel there?
Right. We signed an agreement already with the Wyndham Hotels. We're bringing in a La Quinta with a dual brand, the Monarch, 103 keys on the first one. With our estimation on the amount of people that will be coming into the city of Kaufman based on these sporting events that we're going to have, and we're talking about with people like Nike, Under Armour, Reebok, all of those people, we're looking at additional 250,000 people go through that facility. But more importantly, those 250,000 people are going to have a hotel. And so when we do the first 103-key hotel, and once it proves itself and the occupancy stabilizes where we feel that we're making a profit, we will build a second hotel at that time.
Let's see. Okay, now Cedar Crest Development, how long have you all been around?
I've been in business for myself since 1985.
Okay.
Cedar Crest Development, I've been working in initially working with home health care, then I transitioned into a multifamily working with HUD, doing the 221 D4 program.
With what type program again?
It was a 221 D4, which was for multifamily or apartment. Those are HUD loans. And we've been very blessed and fortunate to do close to $400 million of apartments for other developers.
Okay. So what other projects are you working on? I mean, are you working on some apartments here in the Dallas area as well?
Right now we're in very deep negotiation with the Department of Aviation on, we call it Redbird Park, the old Redbird Airport, which is the Dallas Executive. We're looking at a 48.55 acre development, bringing in a 200-key hotel, a 275,000 square foot indoor sports facility, a 8,000 seat outdoor Olympics type stadium with four soccer football field combinations and four baseball.
And that's going to all be at Redbird?
It's going to be at the airport. Yes, we won an RFP. It was an unsolicited RFP, which was put on the street back in 2019. And due to COVID, we wanted to make sure that the market stabilized, and the COVID was pretty much where it is now. So we're back at the table with the Department of Aviation for the city of Dallas. And it's going to be truly bigger than Kaufman, but we're putting in a medical office building, a 240-unit mixed use with 30,000 square feet apartments, a senior apartments, because in that area, we found that the children are now migrating back home to take care of their parents. So we're putting in 200-unit senior apartments with a 5,000-square-foot adult daycare center and 178 regular apartments. We're looking to get this on the ground in front of city council before the end of 2023.
Okay. Going to be another big project for the Southern Dallas, for the Southern sector.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You're a very busy person.
Well, I'd like to say I'm just blessed. The journey hasn't been easy. The acquisition of getting the capital to go, it's been a journey.
Uh-huh.
But what I like about Kaufman is that the journey in Kaufman has been pretty much seamless. You were talking earlier about the county commission, the county court. I found working with the county court it's been great. Working with the city manager office, all the way down to the city council. And our groundbreaking, you talk about participation in the African-Americans. I had 115 African-Americans show up for our groundbreaking.
Uh-huh.
They were probably the most black people have been in Kaufman in a long time, but it was great. Great city, great county to work in.
Well, I have some friends that live in Kaufman County, been down there a long, long time. I didn't even know they had that lake down there where they go fishing it all the time until they told me about that lake. But anyway, it runs from almost from Kemp to Athens, I believe. But I just wanted to bring you guys on because I know that it's a growing county. And a lot's been going on. And Dr. Willis, you're like a walking encyclopedia when it comes to things when it comes to development. And I wanted to hear from you about what all is going on, and the blessing that this will be to the Kaufman area. And from what I can understand, you all is building. You have houses, splash parks, walking trails, as well as the sportsplex. Do you want to talk about other things you possibly want us to know about?
Well, first, I'd like to thank D.A. Wallet for it was a great pleasure meeting her and getting the opportunity when I first came into Kaufman. And I really appreciate the work that she does with the Commissioner's Court as well. And I just want to say thank you for that. But we're bringing in apartments in 69 lots for a townhouses. One of the interesting things about the growth in the Kaufman County and around our development in the city of Kaufman, once we did our groundbreaking, there was across just south of our property, they wanted to bring in another 447 single-family homes. And just north of our property, they want to bring in another 225. From an economic standpoint, the growth is happening. We're currently out there clearing and grading the property, getting it ready to eventually go vertical. And with 250,000 people coming into a population, less than 8,000 people, the growth is going to be tremendous. But one of the things that we're going to do, and we made that very apparent to the city council and to Mr. Mike Slide, is that we're going to hire in county first. We want the dollar to circulate within that county and within that city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. But let me ask you something else. In all the development that you are doing, there have been, the state of Texas has gotten approved to have. It's just been a loan approval from the Treasury Department for small businesses to be able to get some help. And when I say some help, I'm talking about under a certain program. It's called the SSBCI program. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay. That program is a loan guarantee program, capital excess, and this is with the state of Texas, but it's for small businesses. How do you, Mr. Willis, how do you all get small businesses? Who do you, I mean, your prime contractor, rather, how do he solicit small businesses to help or work on this program, I mean, this project with you?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. I am the vice chair of United Black Contractors. They're located here in Dallas. As the vice chair, I get an opportunity to see the smaller subs and smaller general contractors. And one of the things that I want to do and going to do is to make sure that people that look like me get an opportunity. As a developer, you know, it is my discretion to hire. Now, I'm going to hire everybody. But right now in Kaufman, the city of Kaufman, I'm bringing in my general contractor is Azteca Omega, which is Hispanic. My architect and my engineering firm is out of New Orleans, African American firm. So I'm making sure that those that don't have opportunity that always been subs now have opportunity to be prime. And we will be bringing a lot of that to the table, specifically in Dallas and also in Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Mr. Willis, one of the things that I wanted you to know that I'm looking at it right here. It's called the State Small Business Credit Initiative Program, which was administered by the U.S. Department of Treasury. They provided $10 billion to fund these programs within the state. So small businesses can, if they need funding, on March the 11th this year, March the 11th really, is when I think the state of Texas got their approval. So they now have the money to lend to these small businesses if they need it. So I'm going to send this to you later on, probably in an email, but I got this from the governor's office because that's who's actually monitoring the monies to the bank. That's giving this money to the bank to make sure that the lenders get it. And we want to try to utilize as many small businesses as we can. And I know there's a lot of subcontractors out there. There's a lot of air conditioning, people, electrical people, electricians that need work that can utilize that can be utilized in your projects. So in doing that, it always helps me to document the need of small business development centers and economic development centers is needed so much to help these people understand what's happening and also get their certification to do these businesses. And I applaud you again for this
One of the things that we're doing in United Black Contractors, we're making sure that like everyone's getting their minority status and their certification done.
Uh-huh.
That's very, very important.
And that's with United Contractors?
Yeah, United Black Contractors Association.
Okay. Okay, are they getting also... I beg your pardon? Are they getting also the SAM certification with the government as well?
They're getting the North Texas certification. They may be getting the other one that you just mentioned. I don't know.
North Texas Central.
I haven't heard that one.
North Texas Central Regional. Mr. Willis, SAM registration is one that you must have, and That's one of the reasons why we're trying our best to get this word out here, because it's called a unique identity ID number. That number gives them carte blanche to go in and actually get a lot of set-aside monies from the government. And it's, you have to get it in order to be a SAM-registered vendor. So I know the North Texas Central Certification Agency is going to help them with local businesses. But when they start dealing with the federal contracts, they're going to need the SAM registration as well.
Well, okay. If you could send that, I would appreciate it. I would pass it on to the chairman.
Okay. I can do that. But meanwhile, I want to thank you. We still have some more time. And tonight has been a challenging night because it's been stormy here and little thunderstorms and things. And we just wanted to let the people know that's listening. I have a lot of listeners. I see a lot of people listening in, but they haven't raised their hand to ask questions. So I want them to know that I hope they're getting the information that they tuned in for. And if I can get the DA and you both to give us a closing comment, because we have some time, but I want you to give us a closing comment about what you hope to do, and that you hope that the listeners will understand more about who you are.
Okay.
And I know the DA is. I know Miss Early, you are a DA, and I know you are the DA until when are you up for election again? Four more years.
I won my election last March, had a primary contestant, and I won. And then I didn't have an opponent in the general. So I've just started the first year of my four-year term. So
okay.
I'm honored. I'll be able to serve 23 through 26. And
uh-huh.
I served for 10 as the DA already and 10 years in Kaufman as a judge before that. So I've done 20 years in Kaufman. But you bring up a really good point about the growth, and if anybody does have a question that listen in, we're glad to answer them. They have a question about the PPP loans. Aaron has some good information. Or for me, one of the comments, and I think when Dr. Willis was talking, that what we're saying the same thing. And there was a recent, which I think, Ms. Melton, Verna, you saw, which you knew me, but that Kaufman County is the fastest growing county they're projecting in the country. And that's a statement, because I think they're looking at per capita. So I can see, you know, Dr. Willis was doing his homework years before, knowing that our county was going to be where it is now. So I will tell people Kaufman County is a great place to live. We are a law and order county. You know, we want businesses to come, and we want to have people to feel safe here. But, you know, there's another side of that. In the DA's office, we've tried to be creative with an dysfunction clinic. If you've been charged with something and the case you either was dismissed or wasn't a good charge, that our office does expunctions at no cost if you're indigent. We have a very vibrant pretrial diversion program for people to give them a chance. So we are serious at looking at the spectrum of what's the right fit for offenses. But truly, our emphasis is we want to keep the crime trend down, but we are challenged with the new violent crime, and we are going to stop that too, because there's no place for that. With wonderful people coming, doing wonderful things in our community, we're not going to have that. We're going to do everything we can, you know, within the law, and to keep the citizens in Kaufman. We like the amenities that are coming, but we still want it to be a place where you can raise your family and still feel like you walk down the street. And so that is our challenge, and I think people that are moving in, I know Dr. Willis said that we were good to him, but he was good to us by bringing us a great plan that I know the commissioners were glad to work with the city on that. And so, you know, when people have good ideas and people can see it, it is a win-win for everybody. Aaron, did you want to add anything?
I need you all to give us a telephone number of how, and an address, telephone number of how we can stay in touch with you and how the audience can get in contact with you.
Sure. My number at the DA's office is 469-376-4760. And that's
okay,
the main number.
Again, that's 469 what?
376-4760.
Okay.
And I can be reached at, this is Aaron Wiley, I can be reached at my email, which is, that's the best place to reach me, which is A-L Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y, law, L-A-W, at gmail.com.
Okay.
And again, if you have
A-L Wiley. That's A-L Wiley.
Yes, A-L-W-I-L-Y, law.
Law
at
gmail. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And that's for folks with federal questions about, you know, it can be PPP, it can be other things. But if you have questions, I'm happy to answer those questions to the best of my ability. And if I can't help you, I guarantee you I know somebody who can.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. Thank you. And Dr. Willis, I want to ask you too before you give your information, what is the time span you think that your project, South Point Park, when will people see something that has developed? I mean, will it be 2 years, 3 years?
What is your time? 147,000 square feet. And that's going to take us to the end of the first quarter in 2025. We'll be up and running.
2025.
And we're doing, simultaneously, we're going to be bringing the hotel and the sportsplex will go online at the same time because we will have tournaments already booked with the AAU, Nike, all in all.
So it's Nike one of your sponsors?
The whole development is four phases.
I see. And Nike is one of the main sponsors of this, of some of this?
Well, Nike, they host tournaments throughout the country, and we just want to get on their list as one of the places that they can house large tournaments for basketball, volleyball. We're going to have 8 basketball courts, 16 volleyball courts, 16 pickleball courts. We have an 8-lane bowling alley. We have a 50-by-50 indoor turf facility that we're talking with the Kauffman ISD about utilizing that for their indoor activities for the football players.
Uh-huh.
It's huge. And we're going to have a family entertainment center in there as well on the second floor.
Okay.
So it's a really big
And what is a family entertainment center? What does people do? In the family entertainment, they can rent it out or something like that for weddings.
We're going to have classrooms, meeting rooms, breakout rooms, and we also, one of the things I haven't talked about is the after school. We want to do a tutor and a mentor program for the youth as well.
Okay. I've got a lot of things going on there.
Well, that facility is costing us around $43 million.
I can imagine. I can imagine that. It's got a lot. It's going to have a lot of things going on there. It's going to be huge. I just hope that I live to be able to see it in 2025.
Well,
nobody knows.
I'll speed them up.
Okay. But Dr. Willis, what did you say again?
No, I just said one of the things that I like to just piggyback on with D.A. Wiley is that we want to make sure Kauffman maintains its small-town feel. And as a destination point, there's going to be a lot of people coming in and out. And we realize, even from the security standpoint, it's our number one priority. You know, we don't want to ever have to lose a kid. And the technology we're going to be using is going to be state-of-the-art to make sure that we keep up with everybody. We're talking about smart city-type concepts. Cameras on the poles, gunshot detection devices. And we will have our own security that will be on the property as well. We realize that it doesn't take but one incident, and we're going to do everything within our power, working with the local jurisdiction to make sure that we maintain a safe environment for the kids and their parents.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Dr. Willis, give us some information about how can we contact you after today's show, if you don't mind.
Well, they can reach me at 469-774-8011. Our office is downtown at 1412 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75202. We're in the Adolphus Tower on the 10th floor.
On the 10th floor. Okay, do you have an office number down there they can call you? Or do you rather give them your cell number?
They can just reach out to me. Because
okay.
I'm about to give this phone number to my executive assistant.
Okay, well, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, and may God bless all of you for being a part of our podcast as we continue to do what we can to help our community. And as we go forward, I just ask God to bless you all in your endeavors and what you want to do. We all have our dreams, and we all have our hopes for a better tomorrow and to help people grow and businesses grow. And I just applaud you, Mr. Willis, and the Black Contractors, Mr. Proctor over there, and I think Keeley works with you all, too. Mr. Johnson works with you all, too, Black Contractors. So I want to applaud you all what you do to try to help them with their certification. But I do want to share with you, and I will, after this particular episode, I will send you in by email of what I want you to consider and also share with the contractors, because it is important for them to, if they're going to get certification through the North Texas Certification Agency, they only can get that certification for state and local projects. But when they go to doing these big federal contracts and federal, for instance, infrastructure projects, they may be asked for their SAM certification. And SAM means U.S. government. Okay? So I'm going to... End our show. And again, I want to thank you for this evening and for being a part of it. All right. And if you all have closing comments, we can have them now because we have 30 seconds before our show ends.
Well, I would like to invite you personally to talk to the membership of the United Black Contractors about the various programs. I'd like for you to be our guest. So.
Mr. Willis, I would love to. Whenever you call on me, let me know. Let me know and give me a week's notice. You know that because I'm old. I'm much older than you, so I need at least a week's notice from you to.
Well, I've enjoyed it, and I appreciate you, getting us and Kauffman together. I think it was a great conversation. You brought us all together to kind of talk about where some growth is coming and economic development, giving us all something to think about. And I hope for the people that are listening on this podcast, that's great information for small businesses, because our country, our county, we're built on small business and the entrepreneurship of people. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell
you,
small business.
I beg your pardon. You kind of cut out that on your last comment.
That's okay. She said she's going to make sure that I call you because I have a small business that she wants to grow.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to send you all this information as well, Mr. Wally. I'll send it to you. Okay, but thank you again for being on our show. And I hope that you all will come back another time when we get started. There's a lot more that we can talk about, especially Mr. Willis with this new, I think the new contract. What did you just get from the African American Museum?
Oh,
Dr.
yeah.
Dr. Willis.
I just went on the, you caught me in a different line of talk. Yeah. Amacio Smith Award.
The Amacio Smith Award. Okay.
That's wonderful.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay.
I just hope I can live up to the things that he's done.
All right. Well, listen, thank you all again tonight for your participation, and we look forward to you coming back on again, okay?
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Okay, bye-bye.